Rocky Jordan Show. And I'm Rocky Jordan. We take you now to Cairo and the Cafe Tambourine for a world of adventure with Rocky Jordan. I remember reading about the earthquake in Ecuador. It was a big one. It killed a few thousand people and buried a couple of cities. Yeah, it was big, all right. I even felt the reverberations here in Cairo, 8,000 miles away, just as I got back to the front door of my Cafe Tambourine. The Cafe Tambourine, crowded with tourists, camel drivers, women, cheats, forgotten men down on their luck, the lonely and the lost. For this is Cairo, gateway to the ancient East, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against a backdrop of antiquity. Tonight's Rocky Jordan story, Adventure with Andrea. It started the night I had left Chris, my bartender, in charge of the tambourine because I had some business across town. When I got back about 2 and looked in the front door, I saw there was trouble inside. My bartender, Chris, was swinging from the ground, and the big guy was taking it all, then delivering in turn. They moved from the side of the cafe to the center, turning over a table and chair. When the bottles began to break, I figured it was time to put a stop to it, so I moved in. But not before Chris buried his fist in the big guy's stomach, and he fell face down on a large suitcase. Ah, I guess I'm a little late.
Hi, Rocky.
What happened?
I don't know. This guy moved in with his suitcase. Started up the stairs to your room. I said it's private. He wouldn't take no.
Who is he?
Toby Barker's the name.
Toby?
Yeah, hi, Rock.
You know him, Rocky?
Sure he knows me. Port Said, Algiers, Istanbul. Remember, Rock?
I remember you left Cairo. You took my cash register with you.
Hmm? Oh, that, yeah.
What are you doing back?
Now, I'll tell you all about it, Rock, but let's go upstairs so I can clean up, huh?
Toby wrapped a big paw around the handle of his suitcase and we went up to my room. He washed up, came back into the bedroom and flopped on the bed. That's when the conversation started again.
Ah, good to see you again, pal. Been a long time, huh? 3 years for you?
Something like that.
Miss me?
Not much.
Still sore about me picking up that loose change in your register?
$600.
Mm-hmm.
Not the money so much. I just don't like a guy with glue on his fingerprints.
Well, Rock, that's why I'm back. Yeah, to make amends. $600, you say, huh? Okay, $600 it is. Oh, I'm a little short right now.
Sure.
But, here's $200 on account. I'll give you the other $400 in a couple of days. Yes, sir, I'm a new man, Rocky. I turned over that leaf everybody talks about. Oh, to that suitcase, eh?
Can't miss it.
Samples. Yeah, I'm a salesman. Kitchen utensils. Can openers, strainers, potato scrapers. Bring modern mechanics to the oppressed housewife of the Middle East. They'll welcome me here with open arms. A new Caesar conquering Egypt with aluminum.
Well, you haven't lost any of your wind.
Yeah, it's going to be fun bunking with you a couple of days, Rock.
You staying here?
Well, you wouldn't have it any other way, pal. Oh, Rock.
Yeah?
You know, I'd appreciate it if you just mentioned it around town. I'm back. You see,
I like... Is that why you don't want a hotel?
Well, you know how it is, sport. Couple of debts and people carrying grudges for a long time. Well, I'd just as soon it wasn't newsed around that Toby Barker's in Cairo. You can keep a secret, eh, sport?
Well, that's how it began. Part two started the next morning. About 9 o'clock, I noticed a kid, 10 or 11, standing across the street bouncing a ball up against a wall. At 11, he was still there, but his arm was tired and he was just sitting on the curb. 1 o'clock, he was bouncing the ball again, but I could see his heart wasn't in it. What he was really doing was a watch job on the tambourine. 3 o'clock, the kid was still there watching, and I was getting pretty curious. I moved out to talk to him, but when he saw me coming, he started to run. I took out after him. Hey! Hey, kid! Slow down! I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to talk to you. He kept on running down the Sharia Hakar with me after him. On a corner, he ran into a fat lady carrying a basket of groceries. Kid and a bag of Brussels sprouts rolled the sidewalk. 2 seconds later, the fat lady was picking up her Brussels sprouts, and I was picking up the kid.
Why does he poor not watch where he's going? Why does he not look before he runs into innocent people carrying Brussels sprouts?
Come on, kid, on your face.
Some people, the way they raise their children, they raise them to knock over innocent people in the street carrying Brussels sprouts.
Ah, he apologizes. Come on, kid, step to the side. I want to talk to you.
What's my... Amy,
Amy, ah, slow down.
Amy, no, it's not. So I'm at the establishment afuera. Can you handle these previous negocios?
Hey, try speaking English. Inglés, inglés.
Pero si no hablo inglés. No lo hablo.
And try speaking Arabic.
Por favor, señor, no lo comprendo. Suéltame, por favor.
You were watching my tambourine. Why? Por qué, kid? What's going on?
No sé de acabiabia. Le dije que estaba teniendo mis negocios. Suéltame, señor, suéltame.
All the kid could speak, or would, was Spanish. But when someone cases my place for a full day, I could figure something was up, and I wanted to know just what. So I let the kid go, figuring to follow him. He wound me through a couple of streets, ended up at a small hotel called the Dynasty. He disappeared into room 212. A few seconds later, I knocked on the door.
Who is there?
Open the door and you'll find out.
Come in, Senor Jordan.
We've met?
No, Senor. But I know of him. It is all right. Come in.
Is this the hombre, man?
You see, Kiko. Favor de dejarnos ahora, eh? My brother, Kiko, he speaks nothing but Spanish.
So I see.
He has left us alone so that we may talk.
You know, I'm not sure whether he led me here purposely or I made it myself.
It was not his intention to bring you here, but now that you are here, Senor Jordan, it is only right that I answer your questions.
Something's going on, lady. Who are you, anyway?
My name is Andrea Rios. I am new to your city. I have come here with purpose.
From where?
South America. The country of Ecuador. The city of Ambato.
Ecuador? Been a lot about Ecuador in the newspapers. The earthquake.
Yes. I left shortly after.
Well, you've come a long way. Well, what's my tambourine got to do with it?
Only that under its roof resides a strange man.
What?
Your guest, Toby Barker.
Oh.
I ask you, Senor Jordan, I ask you to send that man away.
Why?
He will bring you trouble.
What kind of trouble?
What does it matter? Trouble of a kind you will not like. I ask you, please, Senor. Send him away. Send him out of your building.
You always carry a gun?
What?
A bulge in your purse isn't a bottle of coke.
I ask you, Senor Jordan, once again, send that man out from under your roof. Be one and do as I say. There is something between the two of us that can wait no longer.
Well, I had the feeling it was a simmering pot. Ingredients, one Toby Barker and a dame from Ecuador. And it looked like I was going to be the one to get hit with a flying lid. I went back to the tambourine, spent a couple of hours getting ready for the supper crowd. Chris was racking up a few bottles behind the bar, and my cook was scratching around in the kitchen. Then I went into my office. Toby Barker was there, looking out the window.
Hmm? Oh, hi, Rock. I didn't come in.
Looking for someone?
Yeah, Rock. A friend of mine's come to see me here. I didn't think you'd mind. Gonna sign up for a large consignment of my kitchen utensils. Then, I hit the road.
This friend of yours a woman?
Woman?
From Ecuador. Name Dios.
Andrea Rios, huh? What'd you find out about her?
Things get out of here.
Got a cigarette?
Sure.
Thanks.
She the friend you're waiting for?
No.
What do you got to say about her?
Nothing, Rock, nothing. Ah, just some dame. You know how it is. Met Ecuador, had a little whirl. A little hard to shake, that's all. Well, you know how it is with women's sports.
I know if they're chasing a man, they don't bring along their little brother.
He's there, too, huh?
That's right. She's another little companion that spits lead.
Yeah, she's the impetuous type.
What is it, Toby?
Oh, Rock, I told you. Just a little boy meets girl stuff. It's nothing important.
You're lying.
No, Rock. No, really. Now, look, you just forget about it, huh? I'll be out of your place in the morning.
Listen, Toby, I'm not in the market for trouble. I run a restaurant here. I got a pretty good rep, and I don't want it messed up. If you've got a thing on with that girl, take it someplace else.
But, pal, if you...
Come in.
The bartender said that I would find... Oh, Mr. Barker.
Yeah. Come on in, Chief. We're waiting.
I am most sorry, Mr. Barker. The traffic kept me.
Mr. Hashim, Mr. Jordan.
Ah, most delighted, Mr. Jordan. I have heard of you. Most of Cairo had.
How do you do?
Mr. Barker, I have little time. My client leaves the city soon. He's most anxious we consummate our dealings promptly.
Sure, Hashim. Rocky, do you mind stepping outside?
You want me to leave my own office?
Oh, you don't mind, do you, Rock?
For a pal? To make it fast. I stepped out of my office and Toby tripped the lock behind me. It was pretty clear that Toby was using my place for a rendezvous with Hashim. I wanted to know what it was all about. I pressed my ear up against the door, but what I heard was something I didn't expect. I waited a moment until it sounded safe and unlocked the door and moved inside. Both Toby and Hashim were hugging the floor, still very much alive. The bullets had come from outside. I moved to the shattered window and looked out. Scampering down the street was a long-legged dame with a fur of black hair. She was stuffing something back into her purse and it figured to be the gun. And when she went by a lamppost, I saw who she was. Andrea Rios, late of Ambato, Ecuador. I watched Andrea around a corner. I turned back from the window. Hashim had already picked himself up and was scampering out of my place. And Toby Barker was dusting off his suit, quite relieved that the bullets landed in my wall. I decided I wanted more words with a South American bombshell who was turning my office into a skeet shoot. I caught up with her back at her hotel room, and I don't think I was too gentle. I snatched her purse away from her and opened it.
What are you doing?
I'm a gun collector, lady. I want yours.
Very well, senor. Take it.
I've got it. Three bullets fired. They're all on my office wall. I'm a little touchy about guns going off in my place.
I told you. Get that man out from under your roof.
Maybe I don't want to. Maybe he's a friend of mine. I don't like being told what to do with my friends.
Oh, what are you screaming about?
Listen, Miss Equilo, maybe you don't understand. We've got laws in Cairo. Assault with a deadly weapon, intent to kill. And we got jails, too, and they got plenty of room.
And do not just stand there. Call the police.
Maybe I will.
Call them. What do I care?
All right.
Go ahead. What are you waiting for?
Get me Captain Sam Savaya, Cairo Police.
Call them.
I talked to Sam, and he said he had to attend a commissioner's meeting, but he'd send someone right down. Then I hung up and turned back to look at Andrea. She'd slumped down on the couch and was ready to cry. Some dames can turn on like a water faucet and use it to get things their own way. But this was different. This was real. It looked like it. It wasn't a loud cry. It was soft, tight, like it was bound up in ropes. And it was a deep cry. It made a fellow wonder. After a while, she came out of it. You have anything to listen to?
Master.
I'm a good listener.
But to what avail, Senor Chief? I have tried to kill a man. I have followed him halfway around the world with one purpose. What is it for one person is not always for another?
Try me, huh?
I'm living in Ambato, in Ecuador. My father is a most revered and wonderful man. He is the proprietor of a fine art shop containing beautiful and expensive relics of early Ecuadorian culture. I bring to live with us a man I love and I admire. He's a man who my father considers spoiler. He does not approve. But he bends to the wish of his daughter, whom he loves very much. The new husband is dead.
Time goes on. I hear that my husband is disreputable. I refuse to believe. But then the moment comes when I can no longer shut my eyes to what he's about. It comes when the earthquake comes to a door. The buildings of Ambato are shattered. The people are buried in the rubble. Children scream for their mothers and misery is all over. It is then, as the buildings quiver and the stones fall, that in front of my eyes, unaware that I am there, my husband kills my father with a blow on the head. Steve and banishment. The law can do nothing. First it is troubled by the misery of the earthquake. Then it sees no proof. As far as it is concerned, my father was killed by falling rubble. But the daughter knows different. The daughter saw. And yet has no proof. Now the burden of death lies with her.
That's another story. Now I know it's true.
You do not.
What's your plan now?
That depends most strongly upon the words you utter to the police. But in fairness, I must say to you, though justice has failed once, it may still be attempted again. Yes?
Lieutenant Amano, the Cairo police.
Come in.
You called for the police, Mr. Jordan?
Yeah.
I came as promptly as I could. What do you wish?
Lieutenant.
Yes, I'm waiting.
Andrea, will you do one thing for me?
Perhaps.
Sit tight for a couple of hours. Give me a chance to think a little bit.
I have waited so long. I can wait a little longer.
Mr. Jordan, would you kindly...
Come on, Lieutenant, outside. I'll see you soon, Andrea.
Mr. Jordan, the police are most busy. We receive an urgent telephone call from you requesting us to arrive as promptly as possible at room 212 of the Dynasty Hotel.
Yeah, I know.
This I do. When I arrive, I find you and a beautiful woman alone in a room. The atmosphere most...
I know.
See that you are disturbed, that the lady has been crying, that a gun lies on the bed. And when I ask of you the trouble, you tell me nothing.
I'm sorry, Lieutenant. Later I'll tell you all.
Mr. Jordan.
Yeah.
Mr. Jordan, beware that you are not carrying too much upon your shoulders. Beware that you are not making decisions which are quite beyond your province.
That's quite a warning, Lieutenant Hammond. Okay, I'll watch it.
I intend that you shall.
I left and went back to the tambourine, trying to figure all the while if what Andrea had told me was true. I went up to my room. Toby wasn't there, but Chris was.
Hi, Rocky. Just picking up a few of Toby's empty bottles. What's the matter? Looks like you went through an egg beater.
Where's Toby?
He left a few minutes ago. Had a phone call. Said he'd be back soon.
Yeah.
What are you looking for?
His suitcase. Did he take it with him?
No, it's over there behind the couch.
We'll take a look inside, I think.
He said there's nothing in it but his samples. Kitchen equipment.
Well, let's find out.
Kitchen stuff, Rocky. Orange squeezer, knives.
Yeah, let's have a look at the bottom layer.
What is it, Rock?
Looks sort of odd, doesn't it? It's filigree. Gold, silver, or platinum. They're Ecuadorian ornaments of some sort. Pretty expensive.
I don't get it, Rocky. What's it mean?
It means part of her story's true, anyway.
Whose story?
I'll tell you all about it later, Chris. Look, Toby will be back pretty soon to sell his stuff to Hashim. You'll have to do something for me. I want to see a lady from Ecuador. I told Chris what I wanted him to do and then went back to the Dynasty to find Andrea. The desk clerk said she'd gone across the street to get a sandwich. I found her munching on some deviled egg and sipping black coffee.
You came back sooner than I expected.
I got an answer sooner than I expected.
What do you mean?
Went through Toby Barker's suitcase.
Gold and platinum filigree, huh? My father's.
That's right.
Worth quite a bit of money. $50,000 to $100,000, depending on you.
Well, even now, Toby's trying to close the deal with an Egyptian named Hashim.
And then he will leave the country. I have not much time.
Andrea.
Yes.
He'll tip his hand. Sooner or later, he'll tip his hand.
Will he?
I'm trying to tell you to lay away your gun.
I know, Rookie.
He's not worth it, Andrea. If he did what you said he did, he's still not worth your killing.
You do not have to go on. My mind is made up. It has worked within me for so long, there is nothing for me to do but kill him.
Andrea.
He is an evil man, and the law cannot touch him. He killed my father, and that death is laid at my feet. I have no other course but to do what I have planned.
She sprung up out of the chair, pulled away from me, and moved out of the place fast. In a minute, she was lost in the crowd on the boulevard. I found myself wanting to keep her from killing more than anything else. It takes two to make a killing, one with the intent and the victim. If one couldn't be stopped, maybe the pigeon could be removed. I figured I could beat her back to the tambourine, so I called a cab, told him to step on it. A little while later, he dropped me off just in time to see Hashim scurry out of my place with Barker's sample case in his hand. He was moving toward a black sedan on the corner, I suppose to his waiting client. But I was interested in Toby Barker. I found him in the kitchen, roll of bills in his hand.
Oh, hiya, Rock. I was just going to leave this for you. The rest of the $600 I owe you. Old Hashim and I closed the deal. I turned over my kitchen utensils to him, and he turned over his dish to me.
You better start moving, Toby.
Huh?
I said you better start moving.
I'm going, but what's the big hurry?
Did Hashim open the suitcase before he took it?
Oh, there wasn't much time. He had someone wait. Why? What?
You better move. For more reasons than one, pal. You're turning into a rabbit in a greyhound race.
What are you talking about?
Andrea's on her way over, and she's got a new clip for her gun.
Oh. Well, thanks, Rock. Thanks, pal, for warning me.
I'm not thinking about you.
Well, then why...
I don't want her to kill you. That's why I don't think you're worth it.
You don't want her... Well, now there's one for you. Hey, that's rich, pal. The Rock going soft for my wife.
Back door, Toby. Use it.
Sure, Rock, I'm going. Well, what about your money?
Forget it. I don't like the way you got it. Your debt's canceled.
Suit yourself.
Come on now, make it fast. There's a plane for Athens in 30 minutes.
Yeah, so long, soft fetch. I'll use your 400 to have the shot. Ow!
At the shot, Toby grabbed his stomach, and that's when the rest of them came. He toppled over on his face, and by the time he hit the ground, he was dead. I looked up the alley to see where the shots had come from. All I saw was a figure standing there with a gun in her hand. Andrea Rios. And it looked like it was mission accomplished. Well, that was the picture. Toby Barker cut down by a flood of bullets, and standing up the alley from him, Andrea Rios, a gun in her hand. It would have been a long haul for her, but it looked like she'd finally done it. And as I saw her leaning against a building, begin to sob, I felt kind of sick. I hadn't been able to get the pigeon away in time. Well, I started up toward her. As I got closer, I could hear her sobs. It got into me like knives, and I began to feel sorry for everybody who got into something they had no way out of. Andrea.
I heard him groan. I saw him grab his
foot. Now, get hold of yourself.
He fell forward on his face.
Andrea.
Did I do it, Rocky? Did I finally do it? After all this time, did I finally do what I...
Andrea.
And now that it is done, am I more happy?
Listen to me. This gun hasn't been fired. All the bullets are still in the clip. You didn't kill him.
Indeed, she did not, Jordan.
Lieutenant Hamann.
Yes, since I answered your telephone request at the Dynasty Hotel, I've been keeping a close watch on you.
But I don't get it. You didn't cut Toby down.
I've been outside the tambourine. A moment ago, Miss Rios came and waited by that lamppost. Then I saw this man, Toby Barker, emerge by your back door. I saw Miss Rios reach into her purse for a gun. I moved to stop her, but before I could, shots came from another direction. Mr. Barker was killed by a man named Hashim.
Hashim?
Sergeant Greco and I have apprehended him. Even now, he's in the police car. He said that he killed Barker because Barker had double-crossed him. This suitcase, Mr. Jordan. Do you recognize it?
Sure, it's Toby Barker's sample case. It originally had the gold and platinum filigree in it.
Originally, yes. That is what Hashim paid for, but what he got was... Observe, I shall open the suitcase. see? The original contents, the filigree, has been removed. And it has been replaced truly with kitchen utensils. And all of them are stamped with the mark of the Café Tambourine. Mr. Jordan, would you please explain to me when you pulled the switch?
Well, Chris had done what I had asked him to. Remove the filigree and replace it with plain old utensils from my kitchen. I was trying to save the filigree for Andrea Rios because I knew Toby was getting ready to peddle it right away. I had no idea the switch would make Hashim throw bullets at Toby. But it did, and, well, that was that. I took filigree over to Lieutenant Haman, and after the inquiry, it would go back to Andrea. That's about all, except that Andrea got her justice without her own foot in. Later, Andrea and her brother Kiko went back to Ecuador. Who knows? Maybe someday I'll take a trip over there myself.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.